Welcome back to Community Connections. We've been playing a few songs there for you. We had Sherbet with Summer Love, Small Faces, Ichiku Park, Edie Gourmet, Blame It on the Bossa Nova, and others. But we've now got our problems. We had a few little problems getting connected, but we've got with us Cindy McLeish, our local MP, and they tell me she's out and about doing stuff at the moment. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Alan, and sorry for the delay. You know, I've changed devices to get the sound to work. And
we're in business now. That's the main thing, Cindy. Right, so you were saying you're up at Alexandra. So what are you doing up there, Cindy?
Well, at the moment I'm in the UGFM studios.
The opposition.
I've ducked in here. I'm doing something a little bit later, and I've just ducked in here to get a quiet room. But I would have thought with a radio station, you know, but we've got a great connection now. It just took a while to work out the sound.
We're going now, sir. Apart from being up there at they're not their opposition. They're over the hill, so...
They are over the hill.
That's not a problem. What's going on in Alexandra today, Cindy?
Every now and again, and this happens in a number of different areas, the caravan parks often have a lot of residents.
Yep.
And, you know, you can go along at lunchtime or afternoon tea and just have a chat and catch up with them all and, you know, hear what's happening in the community from their point of view.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a good thing to do because it's usually an older cohort, not always elderly, but, you know, people in different circumstances and chatting about things that are important, and you'll never guess what's number one on the list.
No.
Roads.
Well,
doesn't matter who I talk to.
Cindy, I'm not that this show is ever about me, but I've got to tell you, I've just had to spend $700 because I hit two potholes between Warburton and Woorealik in the dark the other night, and it messed up the front end. It's cost me $700 just this week.
Well, I had two punctures in 2 weeks as well. And, yeah, it's incredible because I get a lot of people who ring the office or write to me and include photos sometimes because it'll damage the front of the car, it'll damage the tyre rim as well. And people are doing a couple of $1,000, $1,400, $1,200. I get quite a lot of that, and I send them all to the minister and say, look, this is actually what is happening at the minute.
Yeah.
You know, people are doing tyres, popping them left, right and centre.
And I believe Vic Roads aren't interested in any claim against them under $1,500, I was told.
Yeah, I think it's about that. So, you know, if you do a couple of $1,000, yes. But, you know, we had an incident up just out of Molesworth not a couple of weeks ago where a car allegedly dodged a pothole, that's what all the papers said, and it's flipped, and it's flipped over the wire rope barriers onto its roof.
Gee.
Yeah, so,
you know. The other issue too that really concerns me, because occasionally on Sunday night I leave here quite late, you've only got to have a car coming down, seeing a pothole and inadvertently swinging out your way too. I mean, it's very dangerous, these potholes.
Oh, look, it is. And I was just driving to Alex from Yarra Glen today and I had a big camper van in front of me and it would swerve at the last minute and, you know, like I couldn't even see the potholes coming up because it was in front of me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't too close at all, but there was a big line of traffic. Must be still school holidays, obviously.
It is. Cindy.
It is, yes, I know it is.
Cindy.
Loads of traffic and they're all swerving. You know, like just pothole after pothole.
It's true.
It's incredible.
Cindy, you've been talking to the people in the caravan park. What are the different issues that the caravan park people have over Mr. and Mrs. Average that are renting a house or owning their own home?
Look, they have similar issues. You know, the cost of living, the roads, the footpaths, although the footpath's not too bad near where they are.
Right.
You know, access to some buildings. You know, in Alex, there's a bit of a problem with access to the post office. Doesn't matter who you are, it impacts. And, you know, sometimes at caravan parks, especially with things like the $250 power saving bonus that the government have, some people in caravan parks have been able to access it and some others haven't. Up here, that's been pretty smooth. The systems are all going well. But often that's the, you know, that's the sort of things that, you know, and if people are often on a pension or watching their pennies.
Yep.
And so they want, you know, they want value for their money. They want to make sure nothing's being wasted.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Because they don't waste money.
Cindy, I've got to play an ad. I'm sure you'll love to hear this one. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
This is Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I have with me Cindy McLeish. Cindy, unfortunately, well, that's unfortunately, the summer's on its way and it's about time, I must say. We're hoping that there's not a really big fire season, but I guess it's never too early to talk about fire safety and preparing, is it?
No, not at all. And, you know, it's particularly wet underfoot. Yep. For pretty well most of Victoria at the minute. And, you know, we've got a La Nina again for another season and that will probably keep it wet. And I think in the last couple of years, you know, we did okay fire-wise. But, you know, house fires still happen and people can still be a little bit sloppy with things. Campfires can be left unattended. So we've really just got to be, you know, on the lookout all of the time. But I guess one of the things that I really want to talk about was the CFA and the volunteers because they, you know, are so important.
So let's go. Let's talk about the fire, about the CFA.
So, look, they're so important and they do a lot more than just put out fires because they do, obviously, they train a bit, but they do a lot of community safety. And, you know, if you're not sure about fire safety around your house, you can ring the CFA. They can come and they can help you with different things so that, you know, you understand what you need to do or how you might defend yourself or not defend yourself. So they've got all sorts of advice. But one of the things that I do know that they're always on the lookout is for more volunteers. And it's the same with SES units. You know, they're looking for volunteers because without people putting their hand up, these things just don't get done.
They don't happen, do they?
No. And the less people you've got to spread the load, the harder it is on those that are working, you know, are volunteering. So if you've got 10 people to spread the load through, it's different from if you've got 30 people.
Yeah.
Cindy, and you want to make sure you've got as many as possible.
Sorry, Cindy, the other thing too that we just glossed over fairly quickly, people seem to have the impression, oh, well, if there's a fire, the CFA will be here to put it out. But they can't have a fire truck at every at every situation, you know, particularly if it's a bit of a bushfire. And secondly, there are roads they can't get down, aren't there?
That's right. And if you've got a larger fire, the local brigade might know the local roads, but if you've got a larger fire that you're calling somebody from Lilydale, for example, to come up in the Upper Yarra, who don't know that some of the back roads, and it's dark, you know, like it's pretty tricky for them as well. Yep. But at the same time, you know, it's incredibly rewarding. And, you know, the volunteers that do it year in and year out. Some of them, you know, 50 years worth of effort. You know, we're often seeing CFA awards for people acknowledged for 5 years, people acknowledged for 50 years of service.
50 years.
Yeah, you know, it's a long time. 60 years.
I guess if they're looking for volunteers, how do they get on, Cindy? Do they just look up the CFA websites or?
Yeah, or, you know, try and contact your local brigade. And, you know, whether it's Hoddles Creek, you know, Healesville, Chum Creek or Tallangy, there's brigades, so many brigades in the Upper Yarra because there needs to be.
Yep.
You know, we've got not in Powell Town but just at Gladysdale, there's a brigade there. We've got them in the towns. Yarra Junction, Hillcrest is a very large brigade. So we have lots of the brigades. Yellingbo, they all have a little bit of a specialised role too. In fires, some of them might attend road accidents, others might not. Some of them in big fires might be the job to do the catering as well as, you know, doing the firefighting. So they all have different roles. And so it's important that, and communications, you know, you've got somebody who's manning the phones and on the communications, letting people know what's going on. And there are, you know, people that are holding the hose as well. So there's a variety of roles, and it doesn't mean, you know, you might not be as fit as somebody else, but your role might not be on the back of a truck. Your role might be something else. And so there are roles for everybody, but, and young, you know, the kids, some of the brigades have got some great junior training, and they'll go on, certainly in the Upper Yarra and Tallangy, you know, that get them in early, get them to understand and appreciate it, learn about fire safety. And look, they'll go to schools, they'll go to community events. You often see them have their tents. Call in and say good day, learn about what they do, because, you know, it, less and less people are volunteering post-COVID, but we really need our emergency services to have as many volunteers as possible, because it's about our own safety.
Well, because, you know, we talk about COVID, but these sorts of problems are not going to go away, like the CFA and SES and that. I mean, they're still needed no matter what, aren't they?
That's right. And just in Yarra Glen the other night, I was in my office at about 7 o'clock and, you know, sirens went in the town and they kept going, and every half an hour there were more and more sirens, and it was a house fire. So some of them are trained to do house fires. Not everybody is, but, you know, every fire is different, and we know bushfires move, and we know we've got a pretty thick undergrowth, so we really do need to put people to put their hand up and come and volunteer.
And while it's very wet underfoot at the moment, you get a few north wind 40 degree days and 28, 30 degrees at night. It doesn't take long for grass to dry out, does it?
No. And we've got to remember, you know, everyone thought Marysville would never burn because it was green and lush.
Yep.
And it did.
All right. We'll take one more quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about another brand of volunteers. Thanks.
They say that country's in the climb, but I say, what the hell are they talking about? The country has been here all the time. There's a lot more people now admitting they like country music after all. Now there's dollar signs alongside country music. It's cowboy boots and hats for one and all. They say that country's middle of the road now. They say they've had enough of all this noise. I suppose the music wheel has turned full circle. Our ballads and our stories now enjoyed. Or they say our music's having a revival. They say that country's on the climb. And I say, what the hell are they talking about? The country has been here all the time. Play Charlie.
just took over. A lot of music just went underground. Then somehow rock got tangled up with country. This country music added to the sound. Oh, they're singing songs I've only just discovered. Just hear them talk about their brand new sound. But there's nothing new about the songs they're singing. It's just that country music's come to town, hey. Oh, they say our music's having a revival. They say that country's on the climb. But I say, what the hell are they talking about? The country has been here all the time, sure it has. Country has been here all the time.
Just had to put in a song from the great Slim Dusty, and that was the country revival. Cindy, the football finals have been and gone, and your favourite team either won or lost. But at the end of the day, Cindy, you want to talk about the local football and the not only the finals but the volunteers that really keep the football going, apart from the players.
Well, look, and you just reminded me, you know, we're talking local football, but I've got to say, hey, how good were the Cats on the weekend?
Go Cats! Go Cats! In fact, it wasn't a win, it was an annihilation, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, but I believe my daughter sent me a text before and I haven't actually caught up with all the news, but Joel Selwood has retired.
He has retired. They thought he might, didn't they?
Yes, they did think he might. Yeah. It's... I heard earlier today they were making a big announcement and I thought, oh, please, no. And then I've been busy. My daughter just sent me a text going, he retired. I'm, oh, that's not good.
And everyone picked on them for being the oldest team, but they really smashed the Swans, didn't they?
They did. And, you know, what happens in local footy, more so than the AFL, you get a lot of older people playing.
You do too.
People are going, you know, well and truly into their 40s sometimes, even, you know, 50, some blokes I know, to fill the numbers. Like, yep. Gosh, you know, hard going for them, but they keep going. And this is what happens at community football.
But apart from that, it's not only the players, it's the people that are behind that actually get it on every week too, isn't it? All the gatekeepers and everything.
It is. And, you know, we had a lot of the football finals down in the Yarra Valley, in the Upper Yarra, and, you know, I was at a number of those events. And you see the club that's hosting for the day. Now, it's worth their while. You know, they do the gate and they have their canteen and they have, you know, they sell drinks and things like that. And, you know, it takes a lot to host a game. It takes a lot to get a team on the field. So, you know, you've got, let's say, Wurri. You know, Wurri Alec made the preliminary final. Actually, they might have made the grand. Narry Warren put them out, actually,
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, Narry put them out. But they, you know, to get that team on the field every week, it's a huge effort. And so then when they were out of it, they hosted one of the finals. And that, again, it's equally... demanding on the club to make sure, you know, when you've got finals, there's a lot more people there. So you're cooking a lot more burgers, you're selling a lot more drinks, you've, you know, got a big task. But I did a stint actually at Healesville in the one of the booths that might have sold a bit of alcohol. And, you know, there were four of us in there and I was there from like 12:15 to 5:15. The game was happening and it was King Lake and Powelltown won for the, you know, first time in 33 years, so they were pretty excited.
Yeah, I bet they were too.
But yeah, they were very excited. They were very excited actually, but, you know, the crowd was big and, you know, there were, so we had two iPads taking the drink orders and two people getting the drinks out of the fridge. So, you know, it was just constant.
Yeah.
And the canteen... Like, they just couldn't keep up with the amount of food that they were selling. And yes, it's a good fundraiser, but you need the volunteers there to do the work. And
absolutely. And, of course, it's not only, like we're just talking football at the moment, but it's so many things that really the volunteers are the backbones, aren't they?
They are. Look, absolutely. But I do want to give a bit of a shout-out to a couple of the clubs that did quite well. So, as I said, Powelltown won for the first time in 33 years and they were pretty excited. Their B-grade netballers were undefeated all year and they won as well, so that was pretty exciting for them. They had D and C-grade in the netball finals, but they didn't manage to win those, but you know, they did well on the presentation night, you know, the best and fairest night. They had you know, some really great results with the best and fairest in the men's, was equal winners, a couple of the players, had leading goal kicker, they had a number in the team of the team of the year, you know, and they did really well in the netball as well. So, you know, Powelltown had a ripper of a season. But, you know, Warburton, Millgrove, they did pretty good in a couple of the divisions as well. They were playing in the grand final day. I think they won the reserves that day. So, you know, it was pretty good all round. Now, other clubs struggled, and it is a struggle because it's hard. It's hard, yep, with, you know, finance. It's hard with volunteers. But, you know, those clubs in particular did really well. And you know, they were so excited. Kinglake were excited to be in the final of the men's as well, you know. So after a pretty rough season for some clubs, you know, it was a good ending.
It's and it makes it – it sort of lifts the spirits of the whole town too, doesn't it, not just the football club.
Oh, it does. And I've seen in previous years, you know, when Woree have played Healesville, for instance, and the road between Woree and Healesville's got the red and white for Healesville and the Tigers' colours for Woree, you know, like little flags across the road or with numbers of players and things like that. You know, Bonnie Doon little club, you know, they did well too. And a lot of the shops in Mansfield were all decked out in the Bonnie Doon colours as well. Yeah, it is. It does lift the spirits, and everybody does get behind it. And, you know, you need people to get behind you.
Yeah, particularly in these towns. And at Powelltown, there'd have been a few parties there, I would have thought, on the Saturday night.
Well, look, they got coverage in the Herald Sun and Channel 9, and they were pretty stoked about that as well. But, you know, it had been the footy and the netball as well that they'd done well on the grand final day, but also you know, at the presentation for the best and fairest. So they had a really happy, yeah, a happy time. And I know for the organisers there that, you know, it can be tough. It can be stressful. And, you know, some of the clubs that didn't make it, you know, that there's next year. But, again, you know, they've got to look at starting to fundraise and look at your facilities, yep, and all of that. And
fair enough. We'll take one more quick break and we'll be back, Cindy, in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
have with me Cindy McLeish, our local Member of Parliament. We're talking about all things to do with the area. Cindy, you've got a date for an opening.
And it's been and gone, so, you know, we've had the Upper Yarra Reservoir Park and their campgrounds. You know, gosh, it's been, ages. They've had three false starts about when it was supposed to open. You know, they've been finished for over a year.
Yep.
And, you know, the kids up there were itching to get out and play on this great this new park that's, you know, playground area that's been done up as well. And when you're out at McMahon's Creek, Reefton, there's not a huge amount of activity.
Yep.
And so the kids were dying for this to open. And then they kept, you know, giving a date, and then it was going to be Melbourne Cup, and then it was going to be January or Easter. And now finally it was opening on the 17th of September. So, you know, we made a bit of a fuss about it. The community made a lot of fuss about it. Didn't seem to speed it up. But, you know, a stupid hitch, I think. Parks and DELP were arguing about, or Melbourne Water, sorry, and Parks, you know, about the contract and this and that. And it's like,
Just get over it,
get on with it. And maybe it was to do with liability or something like that, and they had to have all things, you know, I's dotted and T's crossed. But, you know, it was the community that were the losers, and you know, like, it's had a year of wear and tear just from the elements.
Yeah, and with no one been able to touch
it. No one using it. You know, you hope things didn't go rusty or anything in that meantime, but, you know, everyone was frustrated. The community was frustrated. The council were frustrated. So it took a while, but it's finally open. And, you know, I hope it's a hit, because we had the splash park in Warburton next to the caravan park, and that's been such a hit. And it was a victim of its own success because there wasn't enough parking.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah. And it's been a real drama on those really hot days. But, you know, sometimes these things make such a difference to the local community. Well, not sometimes. They make such a difference. And, you know, when people have been locked down and things like that, they really want to get out and experience the great outdoors. And playing in a park is, you know, as good as anything.
Got health things going for it and everything, hasn't it?
That's right. And so that just then reminds me, actually, of often if you go on the Engage Victoria website, you see different projects that the government are seeking feedback on. Now, one of the ones that they've got out at the minute, and I encourage everybody who's listening to have a look at it, because it's about banning walking, fishing and swimming in various parks across the state. And so if you deviate off a path within a park, you know, you can be fined $924 for walking off the defined path.
Just walk off the park.
Yeah, if you get caught in walking in the wrong spot, or if you're playing sport or engaging, you know, in recreational activity in some of these parks without a permit, heaven forbid, you know, you're having a kick to kick or whatever, that you can be fined $1,800. Like, it's really quite extraordinary, or if you've got a group of 30 or more, you know, and sometimes people go to parks. Hey, let's all meet in the park. You know, the school groups and stiff families on holidays.
And you often see kids, a group of kids doing all this sort of stuff, don't you? And not just kids, I mean adolescents as well. And
That's right. People like to hang out in, you know, in groups and get together, and you might have an informal get-together. But here's a real kicker, $3,698 for interfering with a rock.
Oh, you're kidding. You're kidding.
No. So, you know, like, there's banning fishing from a number of lakes and rivers, but at the same time they're opening up camping on licensed river frontages. So you're banning it in some areas and opening up in other areas, and then you're looking at all of these fines. It's just getting a bit crazy. So please, you know, if you're listening and you use these sorts of parks, and there's plenty in the Yarra Ranges, Yarra Valley Parklands, Kerth Kiln Regional Park, Mount Dandenong Observatory, Dandenong Valley Parklands, Alinda Bushland Reserve and Golf Course, these are all included. Okay. So there's lots happening locally that, you know, could really impact on how we, you know, recreate. So please get on the Engage Victoria website. Really easy to find. Really easy to, if you put Engage Victoria, and then it lists all of the different projects that are there, and you can start to read through the detail. And when you read through the detail, you go, whoa, what's all this about? You know, it's really quite extraordinary about the plans and things that they're looking at doing. So, and you get a chance to put your two bobs worth in.
Yeah, how can you interfere with a rock? I don't understand that. What do you do? You take it away, or you're just not allowed to touch it?
Well, move it. Now, I suspect it's, you know, I mean, I don't know actually what's a rock. How big is a rock? You know, when you're a big stone, is a rock, or is a boulder a rock? I mean, you know, if you push a boulder over, but, you know, I don't know. If you move a rock that's 10 kilos, I'm not sure. So I'm not sure what a rock is and what isn't.
Well, a rock you wouldn't think has to be, I don't know, I suppose. And I bet they don't define the rock, do they?
Oh, look, I'd have to go and check the detail on that, but that was one of my first questions when, you know, it was brought to my attention, well, what is a rock?
Yeah.
You know, you throw big, you know, big stones. Sometimes people are, you know, throwing rocks rather than stones. But, you know.
So that's Engage Victoria. And it's not only for that. I mean, there are all sorts of things up there, aren't there?
All sorts of things. There'll be roads or bridges, loads of different projects. Right. But, you know, they're seeking feedback and, you know, sometimes you can get to write stuff, what you're looking for. Other times it's just tick these boxes or rank this. They're all a bit different. So
I guess it's like you're better to do something than sit back and whinge about it, aren't you, and then complain when it happens.
Yeah.
Cindy, it's unfortunately our time is gone. We had a little bit of a rough start, but we got there in the end.
You did have a bit of a rough start. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's not your
fault. Sometimes things just don't all go into place.
The wonders of technology.
Yes, the wonders.
By the time we talk to you next time, it's going to be October, isn't it? The end of October.
Goodness me. Yes, it will be. What? How many? 1, 2, 3, the 26th of October.
Yeah, so it's not going to be long before Christmas. Cindy, we've got to go. Thank you for your time again. And
no worries.
Look forward to talking to you in October.
Lovely. Okay,
Cindy, bye.